This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
Smith, Clark's one into right, down the line. It may go. Go crazy, folks. Go crazy.
Burr struck him out looking. The Cardinals are going to Michigan to take on the Tigers.
Holiday out to deep right. Yes, yes, yes.
Swing and a high drive to center field. Get up, baby. Get up, baby. Get up. Oh, yeah. David Freeze has just sent us in the game number 7.
Driven in.
Nuttall, Jim Cromer.
They're talking about what you're talking about.
Welcome to Ruffled Feathers from the Two Birds on a Bat Show.
You're listening to Ruffled Feathers right here on Two Birds on a Bat, coming to you from the patio studio. The show is brought to you by Patterson Tire and Service, a whole lot more than a tire store. All right, folks, it's Tuesday. It's February 16th. We are right on the cusp of pitchers and catchers reporting to spring training. We do know that a lot of the members of media have already made their way down to Florida. We've been seeing their tweets all day long in that nice 70-degree weather. And joining me in not 70-degree weather this week is going to, he's returning to the show for his second visit. You know him on Twitter, at Papa Swope. He's writing for Gateway City Sports, and he is on with me today, but he's hunkered down at home. I'm pretty sure he's snowed in. He's looking like Mel Gibson in his latest movie called Fat Man, which is a spin of it's a take on Santa Claus, but he's got a grizzled beard. You guys can't see him with a stocking cap on, but he's looking like he's getting ready to go chop wood, because I think he's gonna be snowed in for a few days here. But Brian, so glad you could join me again, and I know you had a conversation yesterday, so I hate to do this to you, man, but it's gonna be a little bit of repeat because we have some hot topics out there that everybody's talking about, and we'll run down them here pretty soon. But all right, you're looking at least snug as a bug where you're at. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I'm warm enough. I think the temperature outside is like 1 degree or something like that, but inside it's a nice and toasty like 15 degrees in my garage.
Oh, so yeah. You know, it's been uncommonly cold here in the South, even. And I know you're going to make fun of me when I say it, but in the 30s here, it's not normal. It really isn't. But it's been the low 40-degree weather and like 10 straight days of rain that has just killed us. I mean, I basically got a backyard that, I don't know if you're familiar with the Star Wars franchise, but I basically got Dagobah in my backyard because it is just a swamp. Yeah. And we finally have some sunshine today. So things are getting a little bit better here, and I think we'll warm up as we get into next week. And I think hopefully that snow doesn't stay there too long for you guys, but I think we're going to get hit with it a little bit later in the week. At least down here.
About 6 to 8 more inches by tomorrow and Thursday. So yeah. Like, it'll be close to 16 total when it's all said and done. So
yeah. I think about a half inch here. Yeah, a half inch here shuts the state down. I mean, even a dusting.
Well, if you're coming from Dagobah, I'm coming from Hoth, so.
Hey, way to go. Nice reference. I appreciate that. All right, so As we get ready to for spring training to get underway, I'm still pretty surprised that they're able to do this in February. And I really thought that, Brian, that everything would be pushed back a bit. But it looks like they're going to go forward. And I have no doubt they're going to move forward with caution and hopes that, you know, everything can stay on schedule and everybody can stay healthy. And I think that's the ultimate goal. I don't know, man. I'm in that kind of spot where I'll believe it when I see it. Like when I see opening day actually happen on April 1st, I'll be right there, but I'm still a little skeptical that everything's going to go as planned. Are you surprised that they're starting this early? I mean, I guess it's on time, but it feels like maybe a few weeks might be a little bit better. I don't know.
Yeah, you know, I'm pleasantly surprised, but then again, a part of me feels like, you know, that April 1st opening day, I wonder if they're trolling us just a little bit. That would be like the ultimate troll job for MLB right there. But I'm excited. I cannot wait to see real baseball start to happen again. And it has been a long time coming. I'm glad that MLB finally figured this out. I think the last time I was on here with you, we kind of talked about that a little bit. But, you know, it seems like they figured it out. They have plans to get fans in the stadiums. So, yeah, I'm ready to go, man. As soon as the snow melts, let's get at it.
I say, we're talking about spring training. You don't look like you're anywhere near spring training at the moment. But, yeah, so, look, I'm right there with you. I cannot wait to see just activity happening in baseball that's just not the typical stuff we see in the off season. We're not going to go through all of the off season here because we've been over that, and there have been 1,000 other podcasters and bloggers and writers that have written about what's happened this winter. But still, I'd say there's no doubt if you look around the division, around the league, boy, a lot happened, right? Like the logjam just opened in the National League Central. What we thought every team was literally going to push for, you know, in 2021, with the Cardinals perhaps thinking, well, you know, look at what the division has lost. We probably don't have to do much to compete and even come out on top of the Central. But lo and behold, one move happened, and then several have happened. How surprised were you just looking at maybe the Cubs bringing in Jake Arrieta? You know, they let him walk because they were signing Darvish. Now they've traded Darvish away to my favorite team in San Diego. And they brought, it's a nickname I've given him, and I don't know if it's fair. I've always called him Flat Bill Pissy Pants because he just never looks happy. And so if there's anything I'm looking forward to again, it's I get to use that nickname all year long with my buddies over there at the Team Arrivals podcast. They're happy to have him back, but it feels like they're trying to reach back into the past and pull one more season of magic out of Jake. But are you a little surprised by that move?
You know, I am, especially with all of the moves that the Cubs have made already this offseason. It seemed to me like they were dismantling, not rebuilding. And to see them pull Arrieta back in there, I don't think it's a let's win move. I think it was more of a, you know, we got rid of Darvish. We got to, you know, fill out something in the rotation. And, you know, this is a guy we know, a guy we're comfortable with. So why the heck not? So I think that's probably more what it is.
Yeah, I agree. It's probably more of a depth move and a lot of Pilates to go along with that. I'll quit picking on him. But I still look at this, and as we get into I wanted to start off with just projections on the division. Everybody's up in arms on social media about the projections. I was shocked by them too. I mean, I've sent out a couple tweets that have gotten a fair amount of likes because I was negative towards the projections, and I still don't buy most of them. But look, this... Let's just start with the Pecota, because that was the first one that was kind of revealed publicly, right? And you know, I think some people have to have a subscription to see that, but there have been plenty of screenshots because it was up on MLB Network, and I don't know who has their camera out ready to go when they flash those up there, but several did, and they've put it out there. And so my shock was not, look, I could make an argument, and you probably could too, why you could see why somebody may still project the Cubs to finish on top, because they still have a core that's largely underperformed over the last couple of years. But if they perform to their potential, they still have a pretty potent lineup, right? If those guys actually hit, they've got a potent lineup. If you get enough pitching in there, if you get some help, I could probably make a case where I would favor them in the division. Now, I don't want to do that. I actually didn't realize I was wearing Cub blue, but I kind of am in the sweatshirt today. I shouldn't have done that. But Ryan, could you see that? That wasn't what bothered me when I saw the projections of the Cubs out on top. What I was mystified by was the Brewers. You know, Pecota has them finishing on top of the division, and it's just like, okay, what am I missing, man? You had a chance to talk about this already, but what am I not seeing? Like, why is that valid?
You know, it's a good question. I think if you look at it, the Brewers were competitive and really in the mix right up to the end, you know, the past several years, and they didn't lose much. I think the only guy they lost really is Corey Knebel, who has had injury issues for, you know, the past 2 years anyway. So I don't think that losing him, you know, really puts a hit on the Brewers. And then you've got, you know, you've got a healthy Christian Yelich coming back. And then you got Lorenzo Cain, who opted out of the season last year. Who's going to be back this year. And so, you know, I think Pecota looks at that and sees that, you know, they've got a good young pitching staff, solid defense, especially with the signing of Colton Wong now. And then you look at their outfield, they've got a solid lineup, and I can very well see where the Brewers may be on top. Do I agree with that? No. But I, again, like, and I've told people I've talked to about this over and over again, you know, I don't agree with the Pecota projections. The Cardinals have outperformed them the last, like, think like 8 years in a row. Mm-hmm. The Cardinals has outperformed the Pecota projections. But they make sense to me. They make sense to me in the sense that I can look at and see what they're seeing and understand why they come up with what they do, even if I think they're wrong.
Well, I think they're wrong, and I think you make some valid points there. Well, actually, Lorenzo Cain coming back wasn't even top of mind, but you're right. He did opt out last year. I look at this going, oh, wow, Colton Wong puts it. I mean, how in the world does the Cardinals really essentially haven't lost anything except Colton Wong, but do you net out better because now you've got Arenado? I mean, it's minus Austin Gomber and Colton Wong. You've got Arenado. I guess that nets him out more in the negative. I don't know how that math works, but and these projections, from what I understand, were not done prior to that move, that they were actually done post move. So, I mean, this is Arenado in this equation. So I don't know, man. I didn't know a Gold Glove second baseman could really put you over the top that much. But what the hell did we know? What are we doing?
Well, you know, and I think it goes a lot to there's a lot more questions surrounding the Cardinals than there are the Brewers. You know, with trading away Fowler, now you've got an all kid lineup out in the outfield. Mm-hmm. You know, left to right, you're looking at O'Neill, Bader, and Carlson.
Is that the thing right there, though, Brian? Is that, you think that's the thing that's working against them the most, the uncertainty of that outfield?
I think it's the outfield and the rotation. Mm-hmm. You know, because you got three guys out there in the outfield that are improving, and then you look at the rotation beyond Flaherty and Waino. What do you have? You have Michaelis coming off of injury. You've got KK, who, you know, pitched, you know, really well in a starting role last year, but has never seen a full workload for a starter in MLB. And then you got Carlos Martinez, who is as streaky as they come. You got Alex Reyes, who can't stay healthy. You know, and then you got some more unprovens behind those guys. And so if I'm looking at that, I'm really concerned about the rotation. And personally, I thought they should have gone out and signed a guy like Jake Odorizzi or James Paxton, who, you know, who just signed with Seattle.
Odorizzi is still available, right?
He's still available. But from what I understand, the Cardinals are pretty well set with the roster they have.
Yeah.
I wish that wasn't the case. I really think Odorizzi's the guy. I also would love to see them, you know, sign a left-handed bat for the outfield still, somebody that can platoon with Bader. If he starts to struggle, you know, against right-handed pitching. But, you know, we'll see. I think Nick Markakis is still available. Last I saw, I thought Shin-Soo Choo is still available, but he may not be. But then again, we've got Justin Williams, who is a lefty bat, who's out of options. So he's going to have to find a way onto the roster.
Yep.
So, I mean, maybe they're banking on him, you know, having a good year, the Cardinals are. But yeah, looking at the rotation in the outfield, I mean, I can definitely see where Pecota is looking at them and going, you know what? They look good on paper, but at the same time, there's a lot of unknowns there.
Yeah. So we've talked about it on this show several times. In fact, I lose inventory of what show I've said what on sometimes. I've got to start taking better notes post show. But I will say that while the Cardinals have a lot of depth as far as pitching goes, a lot of it's unproven. To your point, I think we don't know quite what we're getting back in Michaelis. I mean, coming off he's missed a whole year. He's coming off a big injury. You know, we do get Jordan Hicks back in the bullpen, and that should help things. But I don't expect that he shows up and he's throwing 106 miles an hour in spring training. You know, that's a pretty significant injury. So we don't know how. You know, we don't know what version we're going to get of Hicks either out of the bullpen. You're right about Carlos Martinez. I don't even know what to think or say about it to this point. I've kind of covered it a lot on this show. I understand why they want to give him a legitimate shot at the rotation, because if he can get any form back, I mean, that's upside, right? Because you didn't get much from him last year. Anything you can get from him this year, you got to consider it, you know, a bonus, really. And I'd say the same thing for Alex Reyes. So
Yeah.
A lot of depth, but yeah, you're right. There are a lot of questions, and it would sure would be nice to have a veteran in the mix in that outfield. But Brian, I say this every year. How can the outfield get any worse? And then the next year it gets worse. It's got to stop. So to think that 2020 bottomed out, right? And it's only up from there. I'm hoping.
Well, I hope so too. And the thing that I look at with the outfield is, you know, O'Neill's not gotten a ton of consistent at bats. I mean, last year really was supposed to be his year to get his, you know, extended look, his real shot, and it got messed up. And you look at those guys, the oldest guy out there is Harrison Bader at 26 years old. That is a young group of outfielders out there. And, you know, if we would have given up on Colton Wong at 26, you know, we wouldn't have seen some of his best years.
Yeah.
And so I think they're still young enough. They still have time to put it together. But when you're talking about a guy like Bader, who's already 26, and O'Neill, who's not too much farther behind, these are guys that are going to have to go out and prove themselves. Otherwise, you're looking at losing your spot. And don't sleep on Lane Thomas either.
Yeah. No, I don't. You know, I'm on the Lane train, man. Trust me.
Oh, I'm telling you, man, before he broke his wrist, he was amazing out there. And I think he's got the defensive chops to play, you know, at center field. And his bat plays much better than Bader's does if he's healthy. So if he's fully, you know, healed from that wrist injury, Bader better watch out, man, because, you know, Lane might be coming for his playing time.
Yeah, you know, I agree with you, Brian. In 2019, when he had the chance to come up, I mean, he think he made the most out of it. It was just an injury that kind of took him, you know, took the rest of the season from him. And 2020 was a dismal year for him. We know that. Even defensively, he wasn't – just something wasn't right. I've always liked the player, but I will throw out the caution of there's something Toronto didn't see in him, you know, because they gave up on him. But I would like to see him get an opportunity, whether it's in left field or center. I'm assuming, am I right to say Carlson? No, what do you think, Carlson left field or right field, or does it really matter? I think he can play anywhere.
Yeah, Carlson can play anywhere, but I think I've got him penciled in right field. Yeah. Bader is to me the best defensive center fielder in the game.
Yeah.
And I'll die on that hill. And then you got Tyler O'Neill, who's, you know, Gold Glove winner in left field. Those guys are set. And I think the move to send Fowler over to the Angels was clearly to make room for Carlson to be able to take over and have an everyday role.
Yeah, that wasn't a salary dump. And I've heard some people say that a salary dump, you're not paying, like you're not paying 90% of that contract if it's a salary dump. It was to make room to give these outfielders, I think to the point you just made, a consistent chance, right? That sustained chance to get themselves right, to figure out so the Cardinals can ultimately answer that question that's been lingering for like, what, 2 or 3 years now? What do they have in these outfielders, these young ones? So let's find out. I think let's find out what we've got. It's like deja vu. I think Jim and I had this exact same conversation a year ago before the pandemic hit. Like, okay, finally we get this answer. Let's hope we're not talking about it again in 21. And here we are. We're talking about it again in 21. Yeah. That's okay. Having all of that depth and in the minor league system and at the major league level, that's not the worst problem you can have. But I think we would all like to move on from that at some point so we can complain about something else, Brian. Speaking of not complaining, the guys over at USA Today have it figured out. All right, so they have the Cardinals projected at 90 wins, which is where I want them to be. Now, whether they'll end up there or not remains to be seen, because you're right, there are some questions with the roster at this point, but I like those projections the best. I believe it actually puts Milwaukee probably where they're going to end up, close to 500. Chicago is my sleeper in this division, though. Honestly, it takes a move or two or a surprise that, you know, I think pitching is going to be a weakness for them. But you never know. I mean, they could get a couple of guys that step up or make some kind of acquisition if they're still in the hunt midseason and surprise everybody. So the reason that they're my sleeper here is because I don't like them. I missed the days where they finished at the butt end of the division. But they have to try less than the Pirates to finish down there. And I don't know that they have that in them yet. But let's hope that they're working on it. So USA Today has it figured out. I think that's where most Cardinal fans, I mean, look, we're all biased to this anyway. As objective as we want to be about this, and I know some guys are, but we're going to scoff at anything that doesn't have them at the top, especially when you acquire the best third baseman in the game. You expect everybody to, by default, just put you right up top. And I know that's not how it works. But anyway, I'm going with USA Today. I do think that's how the division could shake out, but I believe you'll probably see Chicago and Milwaukee. I'd probably flip-flop those two positions, and I'd say that's probably what it's going to be.
Yeah, I think you're right. I talked with I was with Mike Stevenson on his podcast last night, 2 for 3, and we talked about that.
Yeah, I know, I was sitting there behind the curtain, remember?
Yeah, you were. And so I really think that you've got, you know, 90 to 93 wins is what I think this team could do if, you know, it's a big if, mm-hmm. the rotation holds up and the outfield produces like they think that they can. And, you know, as a fan, I want to put my faith in them. As a realist, I'm going to pump the brakes just a little bit until we get into the season and see how things are rolling.
I want to get to the next topic here, because this is another hot button out there on social media. Has to do with our young ace. You know, there's a mixed bag of emotions about this, and we can kind of go through what, you know, what some of the responses are and what do we think those might mean. But obviously, you know, Jack was right. And an arbitrator agreed with him. You know, he said that I'm worth closer to $4 million. The Cardinals said, no, you're not. You're only worth $3 million. I have no problem with that. In fact, I'm happy for anybody who argued their own case and were ultimately proven right. And then I'm at the same time, I'm also looking at, once I win and an arbitrator tells me I win, to me, that's where my statement stops. Right. I got what I thought I was worth, and they agreed, you guys are wrong. You're going to have to pay me the amount now. And that's the only statement I felt was needed. Jack felt differently. And, you know, he took a couple memes and GIFs out to social media. I think it was just a couple memes, popular ones, you know, the Michael Jordan one that is overused, but it's funny. You know, and he made a statement. And to me, initially, my initial reaction to this was felt a little bit like taunting. You know, you've seen the cornerback in a football game deny a receiver a catch and then wave that no finger in his face. It felt like that a little bit to me. I'm like, well, why is that part necessary? Because those guys get flags thrown for taunting. And that's what it felt like, Brian. And I know I could be missing a lot of detail here. I'm well aware that I have never sat through an arbitration process. I'm not in the clubhouse. So I don't know what Jack is like. I don't know what goes on in arbitration. I know it gets ugly and some, you know, not very nice things are said to try to rationalize why a club believes they should only be paying a player X, whatever amount. I'm not there for any of that. There's a lot of detail I'm missing. So as a fan, I am only allowed access to what I see. So what I see didn't look very good. But how did that land on you? Because I know that that might come off a little bit harsh, and there's, you know, I'm not trying to throw a huge disclaimer out before I give my opinion, but it just didn't feel quite right. I didn't like how that landed, and especially, you know, we're a year out from what's bound to be an ugly CBA. And this is just a taste of probably what we're going to see from all over baseball, not just Jack, but all over baseball as that approaches. But how did this all land on you?
To me, it showed a level of immaturity, I think, on Jack's part. And when I look at that, you win your case, and if you win your case, then you've been proven right. There's no, like you said, there's no other statement to be made. And now Jack has always been very outspoken about his dislike of the current system, mm-hmm. How the arbitration process works, and how long it takes a player to, you know, maybe reach free agency or get paid what they're worth. You know, at the end of the day, though, Jack has had one half of one season where he was arguably the best pitcher in baseball, but the rest of it has been, you know, kind of mediocre. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that that he's not that guy that we saw at the second half of 2019. I think he is that guy, but he's got to be more consistent. So when you look at how he responds, especially when he, you know, the Michael Jordan meme, you know, and I took that personally. Jack, don't take it personally. It's the same thing with every player that has ever come through since this, you know, current CBA started. Mm-hmm. And the Cardinals have played it out this way with everybody. Now, the one thing that I don't think he recognizes is if you look at the Cardinals, Bill DeWitt loves, absolutely loves his homegrown players. And the guys that come up through the system, he's quick to lock them up and to get them into a long-term deal. You know, think of guys like Wainwright, think of guys like Molina, think of guys like Carpenter, and even Wong. Mm-hmm. I mean, they have done this, and now DeYoung was the latest one. I believe they did the same with Alan Craig too.
They did, yeah. That was one of the names that popped in my head. They usually avoid this process, right? Because they do that, and Stephen Piscotty was another example where if they like you coming up and they think you got a future, they're going to buy out your arbitration years plus one or two, whatever, and avoid this unpleasantness. So, I agree.
Yeah, and it makes me wonder if maybe Jack didn't bring some of this on himself, with being as outspoken as he was. But you know, at the end of the day, I really think that the ownership is going to do the right thing and do what's right by him. I hope so anyway, because I love Flaherty as a pitcher. He brings a fire and an intensity to the mound that is just incredible. And say what you want about him off the field. I like a player to be nice and outspoken off the field. You know, I really do. But if you're going to do that off the field, you've got to be able to back it up on the field. I see guys like Flaherty and even guys like Carlos Martinez try to play that Yachty role. Well, mm-hmm. Yachty's backed it up for 18 years. You know,
yeah.
What have you done? You've only been here for, you know, a couple years in the league. Back it up first, and then let's talk about the rest of it.
And I think a lot, and I've seen some, you know, ridiculous comments out there. In fact, I'm going to get into one here in a second, but and I'm probably going to repeat it on here because it is so ridiculous, and I won't include the name with it. But I think it's consensus pretty much that I think rational Cardinals fans or passionate Cardinals fans, we all want Jack here. We don't want him anywhere else. We don't want him. We're all better off if he's able to back it up, right? I mean, we all want that. And I like that fire and intensity too, Brian, because it reminds me of a guy like Chris Carpenter. You know, we really haven't had one quite like him, from a pitcher. And I know Adam's kind of he's been the pitching captain since Carpenter hasn't been here, but the mentality is different between the two. And I miss having that Bob Gibson-like attitude, and Chris Carpenter reminded me of that. And so if Jack can be that, hey, that's awesome. You know, the other part of this too that I'm looking at, you know, I do make an effort to try to put myself in the player's position, right? I'm sitting here in a locker room and my team's telling me I'm worth $3 million. And I'm staring right across at maybe somebody who's getting paid 12, 13, hell, maybe $18 million. And, you know, the team's telling me I'm worth $3 million. You got to kind of think about that too. These guys know what each other makes. How public, we know what these guys make. So these guys certainly do. And I'm sure it varies to a degree who cares and who doesn't. But still, when a club's telling you, hey, you're only worth an X amount, and you're looking to your left and going, the hell are you paying this guy $6 million for then? I'm way better than him. You know what I mean? You know that kind of, you know that's in there somewhere. And then everybody's going to handle it professionally. You're never going to call out a teammate. But you know that's happening, right? That's got to be happening somewhere between the ears. And so I've really tried to look at it that way too. And look, I know that, you know, Jim and I went back and forth. Jim Cromer and I went back and forth on text too. And he's on the player's side on this. And I've kind of bounced back and forth, Brian. I don't always default to pro owner or pro player. Sometimes I think they're both wrong. Sometimes I think they're both right. But in this case here, it's just not something that landed on my lap in a pleasant way when these statements were made. But look, I don't think his anger is necessarily directed at St. Louis. I think it is the process. I think you're right. The way these guys are, I would love to see that as we move forward in 2022 and beyond, for these guys to make more money earlier in their career and to have more control over their career earlier in their career. I think that's what they want. That's probably what they deserve. And hopefully they can get that. So I'm guessing, because I don't know him all, I've never had one conversation with him, but I'm guessing some of his anger is equally at the players that negotiated this prior. Right.
And it should be.
It should be. It really should be.
You know, and you made a great point there. When you think about the way that the system works now, you know, it's very easy for an ownership group to suppress salaries on younger players. Mm-hmm. And from a business standpoint, that's the right move to do. Absolutely. But you're really hindering these guys. And I don't blame a guy like Jack for getting so upset. He's in his peak years. You know, he's in the best physical shape he's ever going to be. By the time he hits free agency at what, like almost 30 years old, he's got a chance for what, one big payday? What happens if he gets injured between now and then? You know, pay him what he's worth now. You know, and if you don't want to pay him as much when he's older, fine, because these guys get past 30 and they're not getting the big deals that they used to anyway. So you let these guys make what they're worth.
Yeah. I mean, you got a guy like, you know, I know Tommy Pham made some pretty good coin over the last couple of years, but, you know, he's never going to see that big, huge payday that he may have gotten had his clock started a little bit earlier and he had more say on, you know, where he was going to play and what he was going to do. So I think it'll happen. I'd be surprised if it doesn't. I'd be surprised if the current system sticks as we get into the next agreement. I don't see how that's possible. In fact, I'm just going to say it's not possible, because otherwise we're going to see delayed or no baseball in 2022 if that doesn't happen, if something doesn't give there. And you can certainly understand from a business side of things why the owners would want to hold on to something like that. We'll just leave it at that. I mean, there's not really much more to say about it. None of us want to see any of this stuff happen, but we've got so much that's going to go on. You know, but I love this, Brian, how you know, some fans love Trevor Bauer being vocal last year when they were trying to agree on just when to start 2020. Oh yeah, you tell him how it is, Trevor. And as soon as Jack does it, no, you, not you though. You be quiet. Which brings
It's okay if it's their guy. It's not okay if it's ours.
Right. Yeah, that's exactly right. All right. Before I get into a question we had from the listeners, want to remind everybody you can find us at twobirdsonabat.com. Please go to that site, click subscribe to the podcast. Only takes about 30 seconds. And best of all, it's absolutely free. Find us on Twitter at Birds on a Bat Show. On Facebook, just search Two Birds on a Bat. Share that page, like that page. Share it with let's pick another fan base that's down in the dumps. Let's share it with an Orioles fan. We're birds too, and maybe they're a little bit lonely out there in the East. They haven't done much. Brian, here's a question for you. On any given day, is Baltimore always going to be down 3-0? You don't have to answer right now, but it just feels that way. On Instagram, you can find us at Two Birds on a Bat Show. You can also find us on lineupmediagroup.fm, home of Yo Radio, the newest streaming platform for your mobile device. Download it for free today. All right, here's a statement for you. It comes to us on the Patterson Tire and Service text line. That text line allows us to hear from you, the fans, so please give our friends at Patterson Tire and Service an opportunity for your business. Patterson Tire and Service is a whole lot more than a tire store. They also specialize in automotive repair. Give them a call today at 618-797-6711 for a quick quote and set up an appointment today. Head on down to 3718 Highway 111 in Granite City, Illinois, to find out why they are the best in the business. That's Patterson Tire and Service, a whole lot more than a tire store. All right, question comes to us. All right, you asked us, you're going to get an answer. What do you guys think about Jack's comments? Well, we just gave you that part, but here's the other part. So what do you guys think about Jack's comments over his arbitration case? I don't think we need him. He's not a team player. Okay, you send that to us, you're asking, and now you're going to get my opinion. I don't know where you come from. And this was also out there on Twitter. I know who this is, but I'm not going to say his name. All right, you want my opinion? I'll give it to you. First of all, I doubt you're in the clubhouse. I'm not in the clubhouse. Brian's not in the clubhouse. Only one person that's associated with Two Birds on a Bat's ever even been in a clubhouse, and it sure as hell isn't me or Brian. I don't know what kind of a teammate he is because I'm not there. We just stated our case, right? Brian, I don't think we have to get back into those details again. But if you think that makes him a bad teammate and we don't need him, I want to know what you were drinking last night when you sent that, because I want some of it. Because you must be 100% out of your mind. I don't mean to disparage fans that take the effort to send in us a question here, but my goodness, I don't know how that makes him a bad teammate at all. And I think that's... I don't even agree with the sentiment there. Brian, I'll turn it over to you.
I've not been in the clubhouse, but I have been in the media room and I've spoken to Flaherty myself. Bad teammate, I couldn't be farther from the truth. You talk to any guy, you know, that knows Jack, and he is the consummate teammate. You know, he lays everything out there that he has for the team, and, you know, he doesn't leave anything on the mound. He gives it his all, you know, and for someone to say he's a bad teammate just because he's upset that he didn't get paid what he felt like he was worth. I mean, how many of us have ever done that? I do it all the time. You know, I always complain, hey, I should be getting paid more for this crap, you know?
Yeah.
I don't blame him. That doesn't make him a bad teammate. You know, it doesn't make him any worse at his job than it makes any of us any worse at our job. You know, everybody wants to get paid a little bit more. You know, he's a kid. Let it go.
Yeah, I have no more to say about that. You know, there was another question that came in here, and it did ask about the projections. And of course, we've already got into that, Brian. But, you know, do we believe that this is a 90-win team?
I do too.
I do too. And I do think the pitching will come through. There might be a question in the rotation there. There might be a weak spot, possibly even two. But I think the rotation will work itself out. I still believe there's a possibility for a mid-season acquisition. If they're in the mix, or if they're barely hanging on to the lead, Brian, I believe that a mid-season acquisition could be made for an arm if needed. And I think that's what they'll do. If that's their weakness, I think they will address it mid-year. You don't go out and acquire Nolan Arenado to not address another weakness mid-season. I think it'll happen.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, last time we talked, Ron, you made the comment, you know, it would be a shame if Yadi's last year, as a Cardinal was in an empty stadium. You know, to me, I see Waino and Yadi coming back, and I see the move for Arenado. And what I see is the ownership group saying, hey, look, this could be Yadi and Waino's last year. Let's give them one hell of a final ride. And, you know, I think they're going to do whatever they can to push for a World Series. And I think that you're going to see an acquisition midseason, if not before, especially if they're in the mix. Because I honestly, in my heart of hearts, I feel like this is both Waino and Yadi's last year. And I think that the Cardinals are going to give them everything they can to try to go out on top.
I don't disagree with that. And I think that's a great point. You know, what a bummer that would have been if their final game in a Cardinals uniform was in a stadium with no fans. Would have been terrible, right? Terrible way to go out. They brought him back for a reason. And I believe they acquired Arenado for a reason. I think they're in this year. Now, do they have enough to be in and get past LA or San Diego? Not so sure about that yet, but it is possible. So I agree, Brian. I think they're in, and I think if they need to make a move, spring training, mid-year, whenever it is, whenever they determine what that need is, and once they get questions answered, do they have that? Do we currently have those answers in-house or not? And I think that move will be decisive. So I have hope. I have hope that they'll turn around. I want to go into the past, but before I do that, I want to thank our featured partners, starting with Mike and his crew at Adam's Smokehouse, located on Watson Road. Adam's is home to the best barbecue in St. Louis. They do big box orders, catering, and of course, when it's safe, they'll open up in-house dining again. So if you want the full experience, head on down to Adam's Smokehouse. Decide from their awesome menu, you are not going to be disappointed. That's our friends at Adam's Smokehouse, St. Louis. Here's your cue. And finally, I don't want to forget our friends at GatorsBaseballAcademy.com, located in both Missouri and Illinois. If you're looking for the right organization to help your youngster with a game of baseball or softball, look no further than the Gators Baseball Academy and their four-pillar system. To learn more, check them out at GatorsBaseballAcademy.com. Brian, 10 years ago, we were kind of in an awkward situation as we headed into spring training because we had a pretty big cornerstone of our team that was facing a final year going into free agency. That would have been Albert Pujols. That was 10 years ago. Do you remember that time there, that thought? At that time, did you think that this could be his final year, that this was it? Or did you think that that equally sized Stan Musial-like statue was going to end up on the other side of the stadium and it would be Albert's? I didn't know what I was thinking at that point in time. I just remember going, oh my God, is this the last time we're going to see him roll up at spring training here in Jupiter? So to me, I know I felt going into that year, me personally, like, oh, well, I'm looking at interview with Matt Holliday, the new face of the franchise. That's what I thought. So what did you think?
I thought there was no way that Pujols was going to be gone. And I will never forget the day I told my son, who's now 15, but I think was 5 or 6 at the time, when the news broke that Albert wasn't returning, and he was in tears, absolutely in tears, because Albert was his favorite player. I personally sent an email to Albert's foundation to go directly to Albert that said, hey, look, man, and no matter what happens, you are always going to be loved in the city of St. Louis. He's the best hitter that I have ever seen play the game. And you know, he looks, you know, more like a shell of his former self now, but man, when he was at his peak, there was not a better hitter in the game of baseball than Albert Pujols. And I just thought that there was no way that he would not end his career in St. Louis. So, and hey, wouldn't it be great if the player to be named later in the foul trade was Albert?
Yeah.
We mentioned that last thing, but that would be great.
No, if they came out today and said, you know, hey, it's going to be a universal DH. There's no question anymore. We're going to have it now. Yeah. That player to be named, how much, I mean, look, he could go to the 28 other teams, not Anaheim or St. Louis. He could go to any of the other 28 major league teams. There's going to be a few extra people that go to the park just to see him. He comes back to St. Louis in a Cardinals uniform. That stadium is going to be packed.
Oh yeah.
He's worth more to St. Louis. It might be emotional, but he's worth more to St. Louis than he is anywhere else, even Anaheim. So, at that time, Brian, I was still in disbelief in December of that year that that wasn't going to happen. And that was I think our boys are the same age. And that was his first jersey he ever wanted. His first Cardinals shirt, you know, with that had an actual player's name and number. It was Albert Pujols. And he was 5 at the time, too. And hard conversation, right? It's just a silly game to some people. And it's just, why are you guys getting so emotional about these things? And like, well, you know, now I've got to pick up the phone and call my son and tell him, you know, Albert's not going to be a Cardinal anymore. That's a hard conversation to have.
Yeah, we had a Build-A-Bear that we got from the Build-A-Bear shop up there at the stadium. And it was just a cardinal, you know, just a regular old cardinal bird. But my son named him Albert. So now we've got this stuffed animal named Albert that's been sitting in our house for 10 years. That connection is gone. And, you know, he's too old to have it now. But, I mean,
yeah.
it kind of lost its meaning pretty quick.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's amazing. I don't know how long he held on to his jersey, but I know we replaced it pretty quick with another one. I don't even remember what player it was. It probably was just Molina. But, yeah, so it's hard to believe that all took place, you know, that last spring training took place 10 years ago, and there were, you know, the conversations they had, the mics in front of him, that he wasn't going to negotiate anything. You know, once he got to a certain point in spring training, negotiations were done and they'd pick him up in the off season. So I still I was at work when that news broke, and I know I was probably useless the rest of the day. Just now my reality's got to be Albert Pujols is not going to be on the Cardinals anymore. What's this like? And there's no way I disagree with you on that's the best hitter I've ever seen in real life. Meaning that's the best hitter I've ever been to the park and actually seen play.
Yeah.
And I recall times when, you know, even the 2011 World Series and, you know, that last inning and I saw him up the bat, I'm like, yeah, it was game 6. I'm like, there's no way he's not going to get a hit here. And there's very few players, you know, they're like, he's just going to will himself into a hit right here. And he did. And there was no way he was going to get out. And I think it was a double he got on with and eventually was knocked in by, I don't know if it was the Freeze triple or whatever, the Berkman single, but you just knew there were spots when he would come up in the lineup, like he's going to get on base. He's just going to will himself into it. And it was amazing. I would have loved to have seen it all ended that way. And I know our fairy tale fantasy is the player to be named later. Wow, that would be something. Mike and I talked about it on here last week because he sat in for Jim last week as well. And boy, wouldn't that be something though? I mean, just look at his return in June of 2019 for that weekend series in St. Louis. Look how the crowd showed up there. And you're absolutely right. People are going to love him regardless, and they did. And that was very clear. You know, you put some space in between when he left and now. A lot of people are willing to forget that, but man, there are a few holdouts, man, that they still throw out the traitor language, right? So what do? You can't win everybody over.
No, I mean, you know, at the end of the day though, like it was a business move for the Cardinals and they were right.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes we put sentiment over logic. For lack of a better term, it was the right move for the Cardinals at the time. You know, that would have handicapped the team financially moving forward for years to come. And, you know, hey, who's been to more World Series since Albert left? The Cardinals or the Angels?
Yeah, that's easy. And who's won more playoff games? That's an easy one, too. you know, it's I just lost my train of thought there. But, yeah, so thinking about just – you know, sentiment over that kind of stuff. And I'm guilty of doing that all the time, especially when it comes to this team. Right. But you know, I think about it, you know, they might not have been able to hold on to Wainwright for as long as they had, or Molina for as long as they had, if they had kept him. I do believe it would have been somewhat of a handicap for years. So didn't end up that way. I think everything ended up okay. And I think a lot of that animosity and all of that is gone by this point. I'd love to see him return. It may make no sense at all, but I would still love to see it. Even if it was just for a month, I think it would be amazing.
The only thing that I hope happens is that when he does go into the Hall of Fame, and he will, I hope he goes in with a Cardinals cap on his head.
No, I think that's when that's really where he made his name, right? That was the organization that took a risk on him, drafting him in the 13th round. Not that he owes St. Louis anything, but yeah, it would be nice. At least a split cap. It might be hard to take, but or just do what Tony did and just say, I'm not wearing any of your damn caps. I'm just wearing I'm just wearing a blank one. Forget you guys. All right, Brian. Hey, thanks for taking the time out today. I know that we're getting up close to an hour here, so I just wanted to thank you for your time. I know, what are you working on now for Gateway City? I heard you throw out a couple things there yesterday, but if we sparked anything today, maybe a revisit of the Albert negotiations or something, or is it something more fresh, more something new?
Well, I think it's going to be something a little more fresh. As I was thinking out last night, I'm really looking forward to taking a look at the defense. I think this may be the best defensive team that the Cardinals have ever put together. And I think my next piece is going to focus on that, just looking at the talent that we have on that side of the ball.
All right. Well, we'll look forward to that. You can find that at gatewaycitysports.com. You can find Brian on Twitter at Papa Swope. You can find me at TOR_Ron75. I know Jim tagged somebody else last week in the show post because he's still handling the social media posts. He tags TOR_Ron, not 75. And I was like, I wonder who that is. I clicked on it and it said suspended account. whoever he tagged on that, I'm sure they're cool, but they all obviously are, you know, they got a little bit of a bad side to them because they're suspended for whatever reason. I think my biggest fear was, oh, please tell me this wasn't somebody that raided the Capitol. Because I don't want people to think that was me. you can find me on Twitter at TOR_Ron75. You can find me on Thursdays too on the Team Rivals podcast. You can hit me up there. And I'll remind everybody before we get out of here, you can find us on twobirdsonabat.com. We're located on Twitter at Birds on a Bat Show, Facebook, just search for Two Birds on a Bat, Instagram at Two Birds on a Bat Show. And you can always find us on lineupmediagroup.fm. All right, Brian. Fun conversation as always today. I'm sure we'll be doing this again throughout the course of the year. Just to remind everybody too, if you're wondering why you're only hearing me this week with another kind of guest host on, is that Jim is probably going to be out for a couple months. He has a pretty crazy coaching schedule. You know, he does a lot of work with Gators Baseball Academy and a lot of other stuff. He's just not going to be able to make it. So for the next couple months, I will have Ruffled Feathers all to myself, and I'll have a rotation kind of in here with me helping out. You can expect the flagship show back soon, and there might be a familiar voice back on there. I'm not going to say who it is, but I think he's a Two Birds on a Bat fan favorite. He was definitely my favorite one-third of the show back in the day. I'll save it for you. But the flagship show is on its way back, so you can look forward to that. We'll be here again next week, folks, and until then, we love you all so much. Let's go, Birds!